been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It's Monday already. Where did the weekend go? It is October 12th. This is Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, as we start a new week. It's a big week. There's a lot going on this week, including earnings season. Later in the week, we will start to get those earnings reports, quarterly earnings reports, rolling in. Right now, we have a good, strong start to the market, as it is now hoping for a big jolt of stimulus. Not a little one, a big jolt of stimulus. The Dow up 166 right now. That moves it closer to 29,000. We're at 28,749. NASDAQ celebrating, although a little bloom has come off the rose. It was up a couple of hundred points. Now it's up 150 points. NASDAQ, good, strong open there. On a new week and hopes for more stimulus. We're at 11,734. The all-time high in the NASDAQ was just over 12,000. Gold is having a decent day. It's up $4 per ounce so far today. Small caps are flat on the day. Crude oil off. I guess the hurricane didn't do as much damage as thought, and crude oil's down $1.33 this morning. To $39.29 per barrel. Gold up 250, as I said, 1928 per ounce. Silver up 7 cents to $25.17. And where is that all important bond market? That all important. Oh, look at this. Oh, that's a jackpot there. It's 777 on the 10-year bond. Put that quarter in the machine, and up come those sevens, three sevens today on the 10-year bond. That's where interest rates are at. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson in my 23rd year behind the microphone of a world market, global markets, local markets, national markets, all types of things to talk about, and of course, all the current events of the world all play in to what makes a market, an economy, and impacts just about each and every one of us. Well, we have a good, strong start to the market here today. You know what? It's a roller coaster. Life is a roller coaster. The market is a roller coaster. The tweets are a roller coaster. The stimulus talks were called off on Wednesday. Market tanks. They're back on Thursday. Market rallies. And then the ante is upped over the weekend by President Trump, now saying, I want to go really big on a stimulus package. And now the market celebrating that. In fact, they're now looking to do another $2 trillion and then some, on top of the trillions that we've already spent. Oh, well, just print more money and borrow more money to accomplish the task. Last week, we ended up on a pretty good note. Does anybody remember all the way back to Friday? The Dow was up 0.5% on Friday. The NASDAQ had a very strong day. The tech-heavy NASDAQ, that is. The NASDAQ up 1.4% on Friday. To 11,577, there was a deal, a proposed deal in the semiconductor industry, AMD, making a play for one of the, let's see, who was Xilinx. It was Xilinx. Sounds like Xilinx doesn't want to be bought out, so we'll see how that plays out. We had a big, in fact, last week was the biggest weekly rally in 3 months. I would say it all revolves around this stimulus package, okay? And over the weekend, President Trump upped the stakes on stimulus funds again, saying he wants more than either Republicans or Democrats are offering, which would mean a package of more than $2.2 trillion. He told Rush Limbaugh, I would like to see a bigger stimulus package than, frankly, either the Democrats or Republicans are offering. Okay, well, that's a complete change there. And I think that's one of the big reasons why you are seeing a big rally out of the gates this week, to start on Monday, to start begin a new week. Nancy Pelosi, in the meantime, and Steve Mnuchin, the two chief negotiators for each side, will resume their talks today. And, of course, in the background, or in the foreground, I suppose, the confirmation hearings go on for Amy Coney Barrett. That is also a very interesting event taking place this week in our nation. Now, what to expect as earnings season kicks off? Well, each week in my newsletter, I update the earnings estimates for the S&P 500. I know of no better indicator for the markets than earnings estimates. You've heard me say it many times, and I'll say it again. Stocks and indexes follow earnings. You know, there's a lot of mystery that shrouds the market. Some think that the market is rigged. Some think that it's rigged for the big boys. It's a sucker's game. Well, you know what? The market follows earnings. There's a lot of logic to the market, too. Over the last 9 years, or over the last 12 years, stocks have been going up because S&P 500 earnings are going up. What do I mean by S&P 500 earnings? Well, just add up all the earnings from the 500 companies that make up the S&P. Where can I find this, you say? Well, there's many sources to find those earnings estimates. And right now, for instance, this year, 2020, we're looking for $133 per share in earnings for the S&P 500. That's the aggregate earnings for the S&P 500. What did we earn last year? About $165, $163, somewhere in there. We're going to have a drop this year in earnings. That put us into a temporary bear market back in February, March, April, May of this year. Actually, April, it ended. And then as earnings expectations started to look good, better for next year and the year after that, the market started to rebound, chasing future earnings. Well, those earnings estimates, one easy place to go, Yardini. Ed Yardini's been tracking S&P 500 estimates for a long, long time. They're free to look up, Yardini.com. You can look up his earnings estimates for this year and next year for the S&P 500, the S&P 400 mid-cap index, the S&P 600 small-cap index. And as you look at a graph of earnings over the last 12 years, you'll see the correlation of the market. Now, the same is true for individual stocks. If you've got a company whose earnings have leveled off for years, such as an IBM, the stock will level off. If earnings start to drop at a company, the stock will start to drop. And if earnings continue to grow at the company, I'm thinking the Amazons and the Apples and others like it in the world, those stocks will continue to chase and follow those earnings as long as the valuations don't get out of hand. And not only do the stocks and the indexes follow earnings, they follow earnings expectations. The proof in that is just watch what happens when a company says, you know what, we're going to raise our expectations for next year. You'll see that stock go into a tremendous rally. Well, this quarter that we are now in, okay, we're now in the fourth quarter, but we'll be reporting earnings from the third quarter. As an aggregate, S&P 500 earnings this quarter are expected to be down 20.5%. From the same comparable quarter last year. It's all COVID-related. You say, then why isn't the market going down, Bill? Because it went down in February and March. The market is generally about 6 to 12 months ahead of these actual events. So the market had already priced in this drop in earnings this quarter and was already looking ahead to next year, and that's why you've seen the rebound that we've seen since the market bottomed back on March 23rd of this year. All right, well, brace yourself for earnings season. I'll have just a little bit of a preview when we come back, and then we're just going to keep moving. This is going to be a fast-moving hour. Grab your notepad. This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Okay, well, earnings season later this week, we're going to hear from J.P. Morgan. Well, not him. He's not around anymore, but his company still is. Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank Corp, all weigh in on Wednesday in the pre-market. So get your Dramamine ready. Get your seat belts ready. Wednesday could be a volatile day. And then on Thursday, we're going to hear from Morgan Stanley, Charles Schwab. He is still around. Bank of New York Mellon, State Street. So pretty much financial week. You know, the financials have not been a very good place to be invested. They do not do well in a low interest rate environment. Do we have a low interest rate environment? Yes. I mean, anybody trying to find yield right now out there with their investments, you know, a good corporate bond's yielding about 2.5 to slightly over a U.S. Treasury right now. I haven't looked at CD yields. I can't be very much right now. And, of course, our U.S. 10-year Treasury is 0.777 today. Very difficult. There's not much margin there for the banks and for the financials. But when you do see interest rates, a day where interest rates go up a little bit, well, you'll see the bank stocks and the financials also have a good day. They are very keenly tied to interest rates. That's why it's so important to watch the interest rates around the world. I report on that every week in my newsletter because it has a big impact on a lot of industries and sectors in America. Now, what's the other side of the bank stocks? What's the other side of the street? The so-called sunny side of the street? The home builders, the mortgage companies, the building supply products, lumber, timber, nails, bolts, cement, home builders, people fleeing the big cities for the suburbs, the mortgage companies, etc., they are on the sunny side of the street, a very low interest rates right now. Well, tech continues to lead the parade as it has for a long, long time. Why? Growth. It's hard to find the kind of growth that we see in some of these, the Amazons of the world, and on and on and on in the tech industry, AMD, etc. They are growing very, very rapidly, while other sectors like the financials, the oil stocks, they're not growing hardly at all right now. Tech continues to be a great place to be invested for now. But down the road, we'll have to see what's going to become of some of these big tech stocks. The European Union has been working to make powerful tech companies less powerful. And the bloc is building a list of businesses that are in its crosshairs. The hit list includes up to 20 of the largest internet companies. They would like to take action against them. In other words, the European Union. Companies like Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Google, etc. And it's not just the European Union. The feds here in America, federal and state prosecutors, are also looking at these large conglomerates. Antitrust looking at these large conglomerates. Federal and state prosecutors are investigating Google for alleged antitrust violations, and they are considering whether to force the company to sell its Chrome browser and parts of its advertising business. Now, this isn't breaking the companies up into smaller parts. It is, on the one hand, but they would have to sell these businesses off to others to make them less dominant. We've had some pretty highly publicized antitrust cases over the years. I still remember some of those with Microsoft and Bill Gates when he had search engines and browsers and the operating system itself all in one nice little package. They went after Microsoft. Then Microsoft tried to buy the tax return company Intuit, and that didn't fly. We've had antitrust issues with General Electric over the years, tried to buy Honeywell, I want to say, and there's been others. But these big tech companies have pretty much been unabated. They haven't really bought out others. They've just continued to grow internally, and they have made a lot of purchases over the years. So we'll see what becomes of big tech. And let's not forget that Elizabeth Warren has pointed her finger and wagged her finger at the big tech companies. So we'll just see where all of this goes. And, of course, Trump's antitrust department looking to make big tech a little bit smaller. We've got a 10-year shipment high in what? Computers, personal computers, laptops, towers, you name it. Why? Well, it's a work-from-home economy now. A lot of people drove to work, and there was their workstation all set up nice and pretty. And pretty soon they couldn't go to work and work from their nice and pretty workstation because of coronavirus. Work from home, WFH. There's even an ETF, WFH. How's it doing lately? It's flying higher. Well, those are your DocuSigns, those are your Zoom technology, the list goes on and on and on of the companies that have benefited from this whole move of working from home. Well, Apple has benefited. They make computers, Hewlett Packard, Dell, etc., Lenovo, etc. A 10-year high in shipments in Q3 of computers to people working from home for the most part. The 10 best ETFs for 2020. You know, five of them are from the ARK ETF group, ARK family. Well, I own one in my best funds now portfolio. You know, ARK kind of takes a very similar approach that I take. They're looking for stocks of today. Not yesteryear. That's very important. And ARK ETFs, they only have three ETFs, but they're all in the top 10 ETFs. They've broken it down like this. They have the ARK Innovation ETF, ARKG. It's really interesting to look at what's inside of those companies. In ARK's opinion, these are the most innovative companies out there, the disruptors. I use a very similar strategy. Their other ETF, the ARK Next Generation Internet, the ARK FinTech Innovation, the ARK Industrial Innovation, having a good year. And then there's ARKQ. You can look that up on ARK's website. Five of the top 10 ETFs from this one family. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, Warren Buffett didn't buy this stock, but one of his key lieutenants did. Dillard's, D-D-S. Probably aware of Dillard's. I know my wife likes to shop at Dillard's. Dillard's is up 34% today. Now, that's a bricks-and-mortar store, obviously, but they do have a pretty robust online offering. I know because I've used them at Christmas time to buy some of those things, you know, get some presents under the tree. Dillard's operates 285 department stores in 29 states. They've had a tough time of it during COVID. They're going to lose $6.63 in earnings this year. The stock has plunged all the way from $144. It hit $21 earlier this year. From $144, that was back in 2015, clear down to $21. And now it's back up to $56 as maybe they're going to survive this onslaught. Very similar store, I would say, to Nordstrom's. Nordstrom's, JWN, has also been under severe pressure. But a very well-known value investor, key Warren Buffett lieutenant, Ted Weschler, steps up to the plate, buys 1 million shares. How would you like to put in that order? That's his own. That's his own money. He's buying it in his name. That's a $56 million position there that he now owns in Dillard's. So it has not been a good run for the value investors. This has been very much a growth-led market, growth stocks. And, you know, it's pretty obvious that the online retailers have done a whole heck of a lot better than the bricks-and-mortar retailers. Well, the Lakers return to the championship pedestal after many, many years. I grew up being kind of a Laker fan. I mean, I go way back to the Jerry West, Gail Goodrich, Elgin Baylor. Remember Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain and those guys? I know my son, big Laker fan. Of course, he was a big Kobe Bryant fan. Well, LeBron James returns the Lakers to the top by beating the Miami Heat. But the key takeaway here is record low viewership. Now, those are two pretty big names. I mean, the Lakers and the Heat. And to have how many people watch? Not very many people. 48% lower than last year. Now, that's the championship game. Well, you might be able to invest in the Boston Red Sox. There's an SPAC coming out. The symbol is RBAC. I'm sure Yankee fans will short this stock. Red Sox fans might want to gobble it up like a good Coney dog during a doubleheader, you know, with chili and cheese. RBAC. This is being brought out by Red Sox owner John Henry. He's in discussions to take his sports holdings public via an $8 billion blank check combination, symbol RBAC. Okay, I'll put that one on my watch list. I'm sure they'll rise and fall with the Red Sox. There already is another one that was launched by Redbird Capital Partner and Oakland A's exec, Moneyball guy Billy Beane. So a lot of sports out there going public, and a lot of gambling on sports also, obviously. Boy, there's been a breakout recently in the Chinese currency. Oh, I know. You watch that every day. What's the yuan doing? You wake up every morning. I wonder what the yuan is doing. Well, I checked in on it today. I haven't for a while. The yuan is breaking out. Now, this is upsetting China because it makes their products more expensive on the world exchange. And at the same time, Goldman Sachs is telling clients to short the U.S. dollar. I track that every day, UUP. That's important. Yes, the value of our dollar is important. why is Goldman Sachs telling folks to short the dollar on rising Biden odds? Zach Pandel and team at Goldman Sachs suggest the dollar could return all the way to its 2018 lows thanks to a blue wave on November 3rd, combined with favorable news on a COVID-19 vaccine. Okay, well, you know, we had about a month ago, I want to say, J.P. Morgan. Of course, the situation is a moving situation every single day, very dynamic. The polls, the elections, the debates, the whole enchilada. Goldman saying get ready for a blue wave. J.P. Morgan about a month ago said get ready for a Trump administration. So we'll see. Luxury homes pushing prices higher in the U.S. You know, I couldn't believe this stat. I had to look at it twice, three times. U.S. home prices increased 16.6% year over year for the week ending October the 4th. That's according to Redfin. Heck, I made more on my home. Hopefully, I don't know, than I did on my savings in the bank, that's for sure. 16.6%. What's pushing it higher? Luxury homes. The median asking price of new listings was up 14% from a year earlier. New home listings for sale were up 4% from a year ago. Active listings fell 28% to a new all-time low. In other words, inventory is low right now. And, of course, what's driving up home prices? Well, you want to be on the right side of the street of interest rates. Low interest rates are driving up home prices. That's one factor because it makes them more affordable as the payments are lower than they would be under a higher interest rate scenario. And I think this whole exodus out of the cities into the suburbs, and you don't have a whole lot of inventory, that's got to put upwards pressure on homes. But 16.6% year over year? Wow. A 30-second coronavirus test could help out the travel sector and more. Well, this would go one up on Abbott Labs' test, which is a 15-minute test. Why is this important? Well, imagine, you know, before you go into a restaurant or get on an airplane or a cruise ship or whatever, they can know whether or not you have coronavirus in 30 seconds. This is being developed by Israel and India, and this test could be ready in a matter of days, according to Israeli ambassador to India, Ron Malka. All the thresholds have been passed. Well, how is Abbott Labs reacting to that news? Abbott Labs is flying again today. We own Abbott Labs in our dividend and growth portfolio. Abbott Labs is closing in on a new all-time high. But this certainly would be good news for the beleaguered travel industry. A 30-second COVID test. Neither of these companies that I can see are publicly traded. But I'll look further into that. If I find out that one of these companies is a publicly traded entity, I'll let you know. Operation Warp Speed, when might we have a vaccine? Well, the head of the Trump administration's Operation Warp Speed program now says he expects drug makers to file with the FDA for emergency authorization of a coronavirus vaccine by late November, around Thanksgiving time. And we're hoping for that vaccine. That would be quite the miracle in such a short period of time. You know, there was talk. Pfizer kept saying, we'll have it by late October. Well, that's just 2 weeks away. We'll have to see whether or not Pfizer makes good on that prediction. But now the head of Operation Warp Speed is saying, look for late November for a possible vaccine. Whose vaccine will it be? Well, we don't know that yet. Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Moderna, BioNTech, Novavax, Inovio, Dynavax, Glaxo, iBio, Altimmune, VBI vaccines, hopefully one of them. or maybe more than one, will have the hit. Tesla's to launch their full-service driving beta test next week. This is going to be a very closely watched development. They're going to let some drivers test their full self-driving car next week. Tesla, take me to Miami. Then can I take a nap and wake up and I'm in Miami? I don't know. We'll see. Tesla stock, very expensive right now, but strong. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we continue to have a very strong market here with the Dow up 201, hoping for another shot of stimulus. You know, it just can't get enough of that stimulus. And the NASDAQ right now is also, well, the SP up 38 right now. S&P's at 35.15. Wow, I got to say that's closing in at an all-time high. NASDAQ's up 188 right now. Stimulus, stimulus. Give me more stimulus. Print more money, print more money. Borrow more money. Well, one of the countries we borrow from, obviously, is China. And what will be the state of the Chinese stocks going forward? A lot of that depends, obviously, on who will occupy the desk in the Oval Office come January 20th of 2021. Whether you like the policies of China or what they do and all this and that, my job is to make money for my clients. Okay. My job is to find some of the best growth companies in the world, whether they be large caps, mid caps, small caps, micro caps. Obviously, I'm looking for innovators. I'm looking for disruptors. I don't want to own the disrupted. I want to own the disruptors. And I'm looking for growth, and I'm looking for a reasonable price to pay for that growth, okay? My app, Best Stocks Now app, is a global app. Just take a look at how many foreign stocks are in my app, and I'm adding them all the time. Companies from Indonesia, companies from Australia, companies from Mexico, companies from all over the world. Now, a lot of those foreign stocks end with a Y or an F. They have five symbols. That means they trade on the pink sheets or the gray sheets. You got to be a little careful with those. You have to check the average daily volume. And a lot of foreign stocks show up. I have found a lot of big, big winners by looking underneath the surface at stocks that don't make the headlines every day. And then there's foreign stocks that are big, giant companies that trade on the New York Stock Exchange, such as JD.com. Yes, JD.com is based in China. They also have some ties with Walmart. JD.com is no small company. It doesn't trade on the pink sheets or the gray sheets. It trades on the big exchanges. It's a $129 billion company. $129 billion company. Just to put that in perspective, it's bigger than IBM. IBM's a $113 billion company. JD.com, $129 billion. What does JD.com do for a living? They're a Chinese retailer, offering a wide selection of authentic products. Authentic should be in quotation marks, I suppose. I don't know if they sell any counterfeit. I've heard that that goes on via JD.com and mobile applications. Okay, so they're an Alibaba. They're an Amazon. But here's the number that really catches my eye. over the last 5 years, their earnings growth has been 86% per year. Now, remember what I said earlier in the show, stocks follow earnings. Well, a stock like JD, whose earnings have been growing by 86% per year, has obviously rewarded shareholders that have invested in that stock. We'll look at their five-year return here in a minute. I just want to contrast JD.com's earnings growth of 86% per year versus IBM's earnings growth of negative 4% per year over the last 5 years. Now, doesn't that take a lot of the mystery out of the stock market? I'll hear people say, I think IBM's a good buy right now. They really don't know why they say that. I think the key to look at, to begin with, is their earnings growth. Not only their past 5 years, but what's expected in the coming 5 years. With an earnings growth rate of minus 4% per year over the last 5 years, I don't even need to look at IBM any further. I'm going to throw that one out. Next idea. Okay, JD.com, run that one by me. 86% per year. Now that catches my eye. Okay, now let's see how that earnings growth, let's see if Gunderson's axiom of earnings growth equals stock price appreciation, how has JD done over the last 5 years? Well, it's rewarded investors, let's look at the last 3 years, 44% per year. And yet earnings have been growing by 86% per year. That means there's still some value in that stock. In fact, I have a value grade. If you look up beststocksnowapp.com, I have a valuation grade of A. I have a five-year target price of $156 per share. It's currently at 83. The stock is bolting higher today. It's currently ranked number 189 out of 5,416, and it's a large holding here at our firm in our Premier Growth and our Ultra Growth portfolios. Well, that's just one example of a best stock now. We put these best stocks now together. We group them by very safe, conservative types of growth versus very aggressive emerging growth. And we have, from some of these best stocks now, also come bonds, where we can put together a bond portfolio for you from these best stocks now. Depending on your risk tolerance, we can also mix and match these five portfolios that we meticulously manage here at Gunderson Capital Management. If you'd like to talk to one of my advisors, give us a call. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. I believe we're entering kind of a volatile time here going forward in the market. It's not a time to be passively invested in the market. I think a little bit of a very close watch here during the next several weeks and months is in order right now. That's where a little bit of active management comes to play. I'm the guy that provides that along with my team at Gunderson Capital. Check out our newsletter. I put that out every week at GundersonCapital.com. Or give us a call, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.